Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. Mr. Dom Flemings with his great song, Going Down That Road, Feeling Bad. And from Albuquerque, New Mexico, feeling good this morning is our lovely co-host, Ms. Bobby Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary, and greetings from Albuquerque. We had a fabulous week last week with the International Western Music Association's gathering, and we sure missed you and Mary Kay. I hope you got it on your calendars again for next year.
We put it down. We're looking forward to it. We are looking forward to it. But we have a big radio show today. We have very talented singer-songwriters. Tell us who they are and a little bit about them.
We do, as Gary says, have three singer-songwriters all based in Nashville joining us today. Tisha McKenna's newest album, Off the Beaten Path, has been receiving critical acclaim and significant airplay. One reviewer wrote, "This really is country music for people who don't think they like country." Tisha is capable of crossing genres including folk, bluegrass, and country, and we welcome Tisha McKenna. Mickey Furman has been a professional singer-songwriter since her teens. She headlined the venerable Louisiana Hayride, recorded for MCA Records, and twice guest starred on the Grand Ole Opry. She recently finished recording Westbound, an album of Western original and cover songs. I think it's planned to be released in January. I had the pleasure of enjoying Nikki's live performances at last week's IWMA gathering and getting to know her. Welcome, Mickey Furman. Multiple award winner Mary Kay Holt has been honored with both songwriting and performance awards. The critics have been prolific with praise for Mary Kay's singing and songwriting. Western Horseman said of her, "Some Western singers and musicians are all about preserving traditional cowboy songs. Others strive to write and sing songs about contemporary cowboy life." Mary Kay does both well and with an authenticity that appeals to not only purists, but also those seeking something fresh. Her newest album, Frontier, is receiving significant airplay and critical acclaim. Welcome, Mary Kay Holt. Welcome, all.
We are going to have so much fun visiting with these ladies and with Tisha and Mickey and Mary Kay in just a moment. But right now, let's take a listen to a song from our friend, Mr. Bryn Hill. It's called Round Up Fire. When we come back, we'll be talking with these very talented ladies today on the Campfire Cafe.
Frost on the wheat grass, frost on the sage, frost on the aspen leaves, steam over the lake. Blue autumn sky is turning colder by the day. It's time to get this round of party underway. Buckle on your leggings, get your saddle cinched up tight for the roundup fire. Burns tonight. Cattle on the skyline, cattle through the trees. Riders close behind them. Freedom on the breeze. This way of life is getting older by the day. It's time to get this round of party underway. So rosin up your ropes and spur your pony quick and light for the round of fire. Summer waiting, working on the land. Now spend the winter waiting for the time to brand. Now spend a lifetime riding through the sage. It's burning in my blood. There is no other way. Call me crazy, say whatever you will say, but it's time to get this round of party underway. So buckle on your leggings, get your saddle cinched up tight for the roundup fire.
To the Campfire Cafe, and Bobby Bell, I do not know why I have been surrounded so by so many beautiful and talented ladies as today. So we got Bobby on the line, we have Tisha on the line, Mickey, and we have, of course, Mary Kay Holt. And good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be
One
here.
More.
Thanks. Thank
you. It's great. It is great to have each of you with us. And today we're going to kind of do this like a writer's round. We're going to start with Tisha and then go to Mickey and then Mary Kay. But Tisha, good to have you with us.
Yeah. It's so good to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. And the first song that we're going to get to today is one called The Horses Knew the Way Home. Tell us a little bit about this one.
So this one, I was actually inspired by a 100-year-old woman. We were actually working her party, and I don't know, I just thought, my goodness, this woman has seen so much change and progress. And I mean, starting out, you know, I'm sure she was around people that were still in the horse and buggy days. And I was talking to her great-granddaughter, and I was like amazed at just how much she's seen the, men on the moon, and she's seen cars and airplanes and all of these wonderful innovations that we've had. And I thought it had to have been quite a life for her. And so her great-granddaughter was sharing that she had pretty much expressed the same sentiments with her. And she was like, man, we've got so many conveniences this, in this day and age, and we have cars, and now we can go dates and stuff like that. And so the great-grandmother, very, very witty still in her almost 100 years, said, yeah, well, you guys think that you had it, that you've had it made with all these innovations. But back when I was courting, the horses knew the way home.
Oh, wow.
Just like, oh, gosh, there's a
song
in
hook.
That. And
yeah.
So, yep. So fortunately, the great-granddaughter and nobody in her family were singer-songwriters. So I said, I've got to write this. So I was writing at the time with Taylor Hill, and so he and I got together, put our heads together, and we came up with this song called The Horses Need the Way Home.
Well, this is a great song. Let's take a listen to that and come back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Thank you.
Johnny pulled up in his brand new Ford. He honked the horn and yelled, come on, let's go. I looked at Grandma and she looked at me, and just by some magic in her eyes I could see the picture perfect memory of long ago. Think you could, 'cause life's too short to live it too fast. I said, Grandma, I don't think you quite understand. It's different today than it was back then, and I don't think that I could live in your past. But in the buggy when we were alone, the horses knew the way home. He'd lay the reins down, the horses knew the way home. Grandma sat rocking on our front porch when Johnny pulled up in an old buckboard.
Tisha McKenna, The Horses Knew the Way Home, from her album Off the Beaten Path. And next we're going to chat for a moment with Mickey Furman, our next guest, and we'll be playing a song of Mickey's. So welcome, Mickey.
Hey there. Thanks for having
me,
y'all. Good to
Absolutely.
Be here.
Absolutely.
I'm coming to you from the great Southwest, the Southwest of Nashville. and
well,
thanks to both of you. I'm just going to say for our radio audience, I've been in the music business a long time, but I have just started kind of branching out into the Western genre. And both Bobby, Jean, and Gary have been just so kind. Both, and I'd just like to thank you for making good introductions for me and just giving me advice and for having me today. Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. You are so
welcome. So welcome. So you have an album that's going to be released in, is it planned still for January of next year?
It is still. Yes, late January. I'm thinking it is called Westbound. And, you know, this thing has actually been in my mind years in the making. There are a couple of songs, one song that I wrote when I was 17. Trust me, that was a long time ago. But in the late 1900s, I like to say. But some I wrote, you know, finished weeks before we started recording. And I think we're going to listen to one of those today.
Yes.
But they're about half covers, half mine, and just had a blast.
And it's a tribute to your father and your grandfather as well, right?
That's right. I grew up in Louisiana, but my father was born in North Dakota, my grandfather born in Oklahoma, and they migrated up through the Dakotas and Minnesota, and they raised and broke and trained and sold horses. So I got to spend every summer up there on the Furman farm and you know, see that way of life. And it just really stuck with me. Of course, my dad, even though he lived in the South the rest of his life, you know, that straw cowboy hat and was just, and boots were part of his image.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to play What a Moon. You want to just take a moment to tell us something about it before Gary plays it?
Sure. Strangely, this was the song that made me decide, yes, I'm going to do an album. And yes, it was also the one that I finished only days before we started recording. It's, you know, your Texas swing thing, my nod to Bob Wills and all those great guys. And it's just a fun thing. We had a lot of fun recording it, and it's fun to play live, too.
Well,
okay.
It is a great song. We're going to get to What a Moon by Mickey Furman. And when we come back on the Campfire Cafe, we'll be visiting with more of these very talented singer and songwriters in just a moment.
The porch is swept, the cows are fed, the chickens have all gone to bed. I'm fluffed and buffed and ready for some fun. The truck at Sully's Ranch looks like they're about to start the dance. Across the crowd I see my sweet someone. What a moon, what a Texas sky full of stars. What a cowboy that I've got here in my arms. What a way to end the day, just holding them tired. What a moon, what a cowboy. Thank you.
a world just made for two. How I wish this night would never.
Vicki Furman's What a Moon, and I am grateful that we are not on Zoom or television, because I was dancing to that and it wasn't pretty. That is a great song. Great, great song. Well, we're going to come back and talk more with Tisha and Mickey in just a moment, listen to some more of their great music. But right now, we're going to talk with Miss Mary Kay Holt. Good morning.
Good morning, honey. And the other honey in Albuquerque, Bobby Jean.
Guys, how are you doing?
Morning. I'm good.
Good, good, good. So it's getting to look a lot like Christmas in some parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play a couple of Christmas numbers today. But right now we're going to get to a song called Wind and Snow. That is from the Cowboy Christmas album. Tell us a little bit about the song.
Well, you know, the harder kind of gathers done in ranching is a gather that's done right before the last snow, and you can get all of the canyons and places where the cows get stuck. You know, it becomes really dangerous when an early snowstorm comes in. So this song is kind of about that kind of a gather. And I put it on the Christmas album, of course, because there's snow in it. But it has a larger message of that really rings true at Christmas time as well, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, he goes on that dangerous gather for each one of us. And even if it's just one that's lost, comes, you know, for us. And that's really the sentiment of this song.
Well, it's a great message of the song. And if you go to YouTube out there in the radio world, you can see this on YouTube. Snow. And there's this beautiful calf. So real quickly, just tell us about the calf.
Well, we needed to find a bucket calf for this video shoot, and the only one that we could find this time of year that we shot the video was a little Jersey, and so his name was PJ, and we got him. Gosh, he was really little. We were afraid that we might lose him, but we just told the director, who was from California, we said, do not get a close-up of this Jersey. They have beautiful eyes, but no self-respecting rancher is going to be going on a gather for a Jersey calf.
That's right.
Well, sure enough, there's PJ in his beautiful big eyes, looking all sad and shivering in the snow. So I had to call the director. I said, everything's so beautiful, but you really do have to take out the close-up. So that's PJ's story.
It's a cool story. So be sure and look up the video on YouTube. When did it snow? It's Mary Kay Holt. We'll be back in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. and I know you want to rest, but we've got strays on mountains and those canyons to the west, and I don't need a weatherman to tell me what I already know. By this time tomorrow, they'll be buried by the wind and snow. So ask your wives and sweethearts to leave the porch light on. There's no telling the time it takes for how long we'll be gone. Settle up your horses, the best ones that you know. By this time tomorrow, they'll be plowing through the wind and snow. Wind and snow. Noon, the sun had made its exit from the sky. The wind howled in from the east, and the snow began to fly. So those boys on the mountain knew just which way to go. They had cattle to gather in the wind and snow. Someday around a campfire, the story will be told about the storm and the sky and the men who saddled up the road, pulled their collars up and they threw their hats down low, riding for the brand in the wind and snow. Wind and snow. Job of rounding up our poor wayfaring souls. He made the low mighty and he made the mighty low. He would not, he could not be stopped by the wind and snow. Wind and snow. Wind and snow. We've got a job to do, boys. We won't quit until we're done. We'll ride into hell, even if we.
That was Mary Kay Holt, Wind and Snow, from her wonderful album, Cowboy Christmas. And we're back to Tisha McKenna now. Tisha, I was doing a little research about you, and one of your songwriting heroes is Pam Tillis. And
absolutely.
I liked that you, yeah, you want to share a little bit about women songwriters?
Oh, sure. First of all, let me just say I feel supremely honored to be in the company of these two beautiful and talented ladies. I tell you, I just I'm just busting right now. But yeah, as far as my songwriting journey, I had grown up listening to Western music and country music with my dad. He was an avid Gene Autry fan and Merle Haggard. And so I had grown up with a lot of boy singers, but I started really Patsy Cline was the first one that actually turned my ear, and then Emmylou Harris. And then I, as I grew into doing the music, I came across Pam Tillis and all of these wonderful lady songwriters. Of course, in the meantime, I'm living a life of my own and I'm going through experiences, and I had a failed marriage. And so I'm going through all of this turmoil in my life, and found that writing the words that were actually in my head down on paper and then putting them to music was almost therapeutic for me. And I thought, wow, you know, there's really something to this that is just beyond
the writing of the song. It's literally making a change in me. And so one of the reasons I moved to Nashville was because I wanted to get better at songwriting. And I knew that the big songwriters were here in town, so I wanted to learn from the best. And I was very fortunate to hook up with some wonderful writers when I did move to Nashville that helped me hone in on that and get a little bit better at the structure and making it to where, gosh, if it was helping me to process a lot of the experiences that I had come through, that hopefully my songs might be able to encourage others, maybe help them through situations similar to, you know, what I had come through. So kind of where everything evolved in my songwriting journey. But it was definitely the influences of people like Pam Tillis and Emmylou Harris. And I mean, I can name a bunch of them and we'd be here forever. but yeah, so, you know, basically it's just when I write, it's sometimes it's from experiences, sometimes it's from my imagination and just, you know, taking a situation and trying to create it. So it's just part of the creative process.
We're going to play a brand new single. I understand this is a new single, Early Fall. You want to take a moment and just set up this song?
Absolutely. So I love the moon. I know it's kind of crazy, but I was driving home one night. I was in the midst of a situation. I was processing and driving in my car. There was a huge ring around the moon in the sky, and it was beginning to feel like fall, but it wasn't quite time for it to feel, you know, like it was a little bit early on in early September. And I saw the rings around the moon knowing rain was coming, and it really felt like we were headed for an early fall. And then as I was writing the song out, it switches into the relationship aspect of it, where, you know, you start the relationship and everything is all, you know, beautiful and spring-like and flowery and everything, and then you have your summer, and then things don't go as planned and begin to fall apart, and it just kind of morphed into that part of the early fall. And so that's where this song kind of came from, and it's been one of my babies. And I'm so excited that I'm able to actually put it out. And the label Megalith has been wonderful and just letting me kind of take the reins on this journey. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. So here it is.
Here it is.
Early Fall. Great song. Tisha McKenna.
Thank you.
There's a ring around the moon that says there's rain to come, and the smell of burning leaves is in the air. The days are getting shorter and the nights are getting long. It seems like summer's ending after all. Sure signs that we're
made it through the
To the Campfire Cafe, and we're doing things a little bit differently today. We have three extremely talented singer-songwriters joining us. Tisha, that you just heard Early Fall from, Mickey Furman, we're going to be talking with him just a second, and then Mary Kay Holt. But let us know how you like this kind of format. I've never done this before. I guess I'll have to talk to these ladies and see how it was for them after the show is over. But we're having a great time. Great, great music. And Mickey Furman, this is
an
absolutely beautiful song. You ought to see Wyoming. But
well,
tell
thank
us,
you, Gary.
You're very welcome.
Well, let me first say that I'm really enjoying hearing Mary Kay and Tisha, too, because I was just thinking that it's interesting how we're all in the same genre, and sometimes we inevitably will perform some of the same songs, but everyone brings something different to it. You know, Tisha has this pure, sweet, clear voice. You know, Mary Kay's got this, I think, a very real-sounding, womanly delivery that I just love. And you know, it's just really cool to hear what everybody's doing. But this song, you know, when I was a kid, we moved from Louisiana to Prescott, Arizona. I was a lunger, I guess you could say. I had asthma really bad, and my parents moved out there, and we didn't stay too long, just for a while. But I always felt like I left something out there, and my parents were big road trippers. They would throw my brother and me in the car and strike out west in the 62 T-Bird. We would go out to see my dad's sisters in Oregon. Sometimes we just went because we wanted to, but. But I just remember scenes of the West going by my window, almost like a movie. And sometimes when it's wintertime in Tennessee, I'll close my eyes and remember the desert and remember the plains of Wyoming. And really this song is about a cowhand doing that very thing, you know, just remembering growing up in Wyoming and wanting to go back there. It's my nod to the old cattle drive songs. From the 1800s, and got my own spin on it. I can't pick a favorite Western state. I just love them all, and I have dear friends in all of them. My heart's out there, I think. But I was driving to Cheyenne for a convention, and this song just kind of crept up on me, and we kept each other company all the way out west, and as I said, it's just one of those old cattle drive kind of songs, and has a lot of imagery of a state that I love.
Well, it is a beautiful song. It's called "You Ought to See Wyoming." We're talking with Mickey Furman. We're talking with Mary Kay Holt and Tisha McKenna. We'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Came to Texas, hired on to run cattle. A finer cowhand I have never known. But how he loved to tell us that the country didn't suit him, and there was nothing about Texas could compare with his sweet home, he'd say. If you think that sky is blue, then you ought to see Wyoming on a clear September morning. Why, it's bluer than the sea. Someday I'm going back there at the with its big hotels and streetcars. He said it's fine, but it ain't no Cheyenne. And down toward San Antonio, through the rolling hills and valleys, old Toby shook his head, and we heard that tale again. If you think them hills is tall, well, you ought to see Wyoming, where the Tetons hold the clouds around their snowy peaks. Someday I'm going back there. At the end of all my roaming, I'll turn this pony loose and never leave. Boys, you ought to see Wyoming, yes, sir. Closed in round the cattle. It's all we could do to calm them doggies down. But they broke loose when it thundered, and when the dust and herd had settled, I saw my old friend Toby a-bleeding on the ground. Boys, don't that sky look blue? You reckon it? I see the lupins and the paintbrush blooming in a field of green. Well, it's time I headed back there, cause I'm out of time roaming. Just turn my pony loose and let me be. I think I see a Wyoming, yes, sir. Boys, I think I see
Wyoming. Wow, that's such a beautiful song. You ought to see Wyoming, Nikki Furman, from her soon-to-be-released album, Westbound. Next up, we're joined again with my good friend I've known for years, Mary Kay Holt. Mary Kay, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, you have a brand new Christmas-themed single. Tell us.
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's been so wonderful. And I'm sure the other songwriters, Keisha and Mickey, would say the same. Just really, really fun just to listen, take time to just listen through the songs. So beautifully written and produced. And this last song that we listened to, Mickey's song, just the production on that song is just knocks me mm-hmm. out every time I hear it. So beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And both of these songwriters are new friends of mine. And I just really feel, and I really feel God's hand working in our lives here in Nashville. And I think mm-hmm. that there was a fear when I moved from the West, when I married Gary, that, you know, that I would move away from all the things of the West and kind of forget those cowgirl roots. But I love what Tisha said, that she came to Nashville to be able to improve her songwriting because she loves it so much. That is my, and Bobby Jean, you know this. I know Gary knows it too. I love songwriting. It's something that's just so dear to me. And this song, my Christmas single, is called Christmas Time. And it's my first release from my work here, songwriting here in Nashville. It's a co-write with the amazingly talented songwriter Andrea Renfrey, and was produced at Soundcatcher Studio.
Yeah,
so it was my very first time to produce something at Soundcatcher. So this song really does kind of mark the beginning of a new era in songwriting and production for me. And as well as being doing this round with these amazing women, because I really feel like we have been all kind of put together in this place with this love in our heart, not only for songwriting, but for the stories of the West. And it's going to be so exciting to see what comes out of all of this. So I'm ready. I'm ready for the ride. And so I'm ready to hear the song too. It's called Christmas Time.
Well, it is a beautiful song. And I posted this on social media, and I had somebody that responded after they listened to it, and they said, you know, this thing is a Hallmark Christmas movie. So I seconded that. But it is a beautiful song. It's called Christmas Time. We'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Winter's coming. Season'll do me good. This year's been harder than I ever thought it would. First frost this morning, I can see my horse's breath. Snow caps the ridges of the crystals to the west. The holidays can't get here soon enough for me. I don't care about presents there beneath the tree. Like a kid, I'm waiting for December 25th. 'Cause I know that you'll show up with a perfect gift. I've seen you face to face, and I'm looking forward to all the memories we'll make. Kitchen table morning, smell of coffee on the stove, are gonna help this empty house feel more like a home. The holidays can't get here for me. I don't care about presents there beneath the tree. Like a kid, I'm waiting for December 25th. 'Cause I know that you'll show.
Mary Kay Holt, Christmas Time is the song, and we have just had so much fun today, I'm telling you what. So we want to let everybody around the world know how they can get each of your music, and if you're doing any touring, how they can follow that, But Tisha, let's start out with you. How can they get your music?
Sure. So my music is being played on YouTube, Spotify, Reverb Nation. Right now my website is under construction, so I don't have all of the songs up on that yet. But you can go to any of the music outlets and look it up, and you can get it from there. You can purchase the album straight from the website, which is TishaMckenna.com, and that's TishaMckenna.com. And so you can go on there and purchase the actual hard copy, which I still have hard copies of. I like touching things, so I still have a hard copy of the album. If you would like to have that, I have some copies available. It's a limited edition, because after that, everything's going to be digital. But you can go on Reverb Nation and download them from there, Spotify, YouTube. And slowly, as we are collecting the new singles and everything, we'll be uploading them to the TishaMckenna.com and also to the other music online outlets.
And you can follow you on social media, because I think you've got a Facebook page.
Yeah. Look me up on social media, Tisha McKenna, same thing. So just find me. I would love to connect with y'all. And Gary, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's so fun. Since I started back on this music journey a couple years ago with Megalith, they have exposed me to a whole genre of music that has always been special in my heart, and it's connected me with people like Mary Kay that has just ignited a fire in my heart again to write again and get out and play again. And I am just so grateful for I'm so grateful for James Hedden. I've been recording my material here at the studio at Grey Wolf, and I'm having so much fun with this, and I just appreciate you for giving us a platform and a place where we can put our music out and folks can listen, and I'd love to hear some feedback as well. So thank you, Billie Jean. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Mary Kay. I am so looking forward to whatever God has for us, whatever this plan is, which I can see it coming clearer and clearer into view. So God bless y'all, and thank you so much.
So thank you for being with us today. And Miss Mickey, how can we find your music and follow you?
Yes, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to hear someone else's website is still being tweaked. the very best thing, the very best way to connect with me right now is through social media on my Facebook page, the Mickey Furman Music page. That's MickiFurman Music. On Facebook, because I am in the process of getting those two singles that have been released right now up for sale, and also my tour dates or anything over the next several days. So if you'll just check with that Facebook page, it will direct you to any new and juicy tidbits. And thank you so much for this. It's been almost like sitting in a room with all of you and visiting. It's been loads of fun. Let's do it again.
It has been fun. And Miss Mary Kay Holt, how can we find your music and follow you? And by the way, Christmas Time just dropped last night, so you can order this.
Yeah.
But tell us about it.
It's a beautiful song. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. It's Christmas Time. The new single is on all of the streaming platforms. But the best way to get music is go to my website, MaryKayHolt.com. I've not been on social as much as I normally am, but yeah, the best way to go is to go to the website, Gary.
Oh, gosh, that's fun. MaryKayHolt.com, and you can also follow her on Facebook and Instagram. So that's Mary Kay.
Mm-hmm.
It's her professional page, and Mary Kay. You guys have been so much fun. And we are going to get together, Bobby, and you'll just have to come on to Nashville. But we're going to have a get together and just a little sing-along, I think, a little jam session.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
We're looking forward.
Sounds like fun. Yeah.
We're looking forward.
Y'all come.
All righty. So thanks, Tisha. Thanks, Vicki. Thanks, Mary Kay. Bobby, we'll be back in just a moment. Right now, we're going to close the Campfire Cafe out with a great song that Mary Kay did with our good friend, Mr. R.W. Hampton. And it's kind of been appropriate for a couple of days around here. It's called Baby, It's Cold Outside. Be back.
Ooh. Happy trails.
That's fun.
I really can't
stay. But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you'd
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful,
worry.
Watch your
my father
hurry.
Will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really I'd better go.
Darling, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some music on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Hey, what is this drink?
No cab to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
Down.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I said no, no, no.
Mind if I move up?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay. Baby, it's cold outside. I simply must go.
Now, baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been
lucky that you
so
dropped in.
Nice.
Look out the window at that
my
storm.
My sister will be
suspicious. Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will
like
be there at the door.
Sure.
My maiden aunt's mind is
your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to go home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Hey, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch
but
my hand.
Don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
it's
me?
It's time to be talked tomorrow.
I'll think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and
I
died.
Really can't stay.
Baby.
It's time now for Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment after this song by Mr. Clint Bradley. It's called Riding After Midnight.
I saw a crazy cowboy ride across my dream. He turned and waved to me. What good it mean? What good it mean? This crazy dream. I did not recognize him. His face was out of view. He looked familiar, like someone that I almost knew. Well, now I'm riding after midnight and I'm roping all the stars. Heading across the prairie to the land of my heart. There's a cabin waiting there with freedom on the door. If I get there by midnight, this crazy dream will bother me no more. Whoa, no more. I saw the cutest cowgirl a man's ever seen. She came riding down a moonbeam, heading straight for me, oh, straight for me.
man. She said, now follow me, I know the trail to Neverland. Well, now I'm riding after midnight, I'm roping all the stars, heading across the prairie to the land of my heart. There's a cabin waiting there with freedom on the door. If I get there by midnight, this crazy dream will bother me no more. Crazy cowboy, the one inside my dream, I recognize him now. Oh, good Lord, it's me, good Lord, it's me. I'm inside my dream. I'm heading across the prairie, bound for Neverland, straight on till the morning. Then I will understand. After midnight, I'm roping all the stars, heading across the prairie to the land of my heart. There's a cabin waiting there with freedom on the door. If I get there by midnight, this crazy dream will bother me no more. Oh, 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 no more. No, no, no.
Welcome back to Saddle Up America from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining us in Albuquerque is our co-host, Miss Bobby Bell. And we are going to welcome to Saddle Up America a man who is no stranger to this show, Robert Eversole, the Trailmaster. But for the very first time, we welcome him as a number one best-selling author. Hey, Robert.
That just sounds good. Please say it again.
Number one best-selling author, Mr. Robert Eversole. How is that?
You know, that's got a ring to it. I like that. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Good to have you. So, hey, by the way, thanks for skipping last week and joining us. It's a great show from the Western Music Association Convention. But kind of eager to find out about your book, The ABCs of Trail Riding and Horse Camping.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's been a it's been quite the ride. You know, I've been riding and camping for multiple decades. And that just makes me feel old, but I've always wanted to do a book, and the website is great, and certainly writing for all the magazines that I do is wonderful. It's a great way to share, but somehow having a book, having a published book, having that ISBN number, that makes it all real. And so it's been on my mind for years. I've been saying for years I want to do a book. And, you know, that takes a lot of time. And it wasn't until the mule rafting expedition that I actually had the time to do so. So, you know, we make lemonade where we can, and I wasn't doing anything else with a cast on and my leg up and elevated, but by golly, I could type.
Mm-mm-mm. What a hard way to do it. What a hard way to do it. Great taste,
yep,
though,
I would not recommend that as a medium of creativity.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, the book is, as you said, the ABCs of Trail Riding and Horse Camping. And I think of it as a dictionary. Actually, one of the first proto titles was a lexicon of trail riding and horse camping. But you know, nobody that I threw that.
What a lexicon was, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to go to a dictionary to look at a book cover, that I figured that just wouldn't work. So, but it lists out 178 different topics relating to trail riding and horse camping. Everything from, well, advocacy, the importance of, you know, advocating for, you know, the access to these areas, to Xenophon, you know, dead Greek dude. You wrote the very first book on horse care, and everything in between, from containment, you know, how are you going to keep old Dobbs around when you're camping, to saddles, to heavens. There's even terrain association to help keep you on the right path. So it's all the topics that I think people should consider before they load up that trailer. And there's really, you know, it goes a lot more beyond training your horse. This is not a guide to being your horse's best friend. It's how to use your horse as a, what do I want to say? It's not how to use your horse on the trail and in camp safely and effectively.
Okay.
And there you go.
All right. Well, now Bobby Bell is the writer's block person. So Bobby, jump right in here.
Well, Robert, congratulations. There is nothing like the birth of a new book. It doesn't matter what genre it's in, and especially since it's your first. So
yes,
welcome to
so
the writing world.
Thank you. It is, you know, when I was putting it together, you know, I never thought I would be this excited. I mean, I put out multiple magazine columns every month. Like, yeah. Wrote something. But this, well, if you can't tell, I'm really excited. and to have it out and available, I got a box of author's copies in. I'm doing a book signing this weekend. For a local equestrian club. It's the emotional roller coaster is beyond anything I ever could have of imagined. It's something. And like you said, it's truly the birth of something really cool.
Yes, it is. And it was fun watching your Facebook posts the day that you realized you were number one on Amazon. And it was great you took some screenshots, because we all know that those numbers, you know, change.
Yeah.
But So very exciting, and it's fun going through the reviews. We've got must-have book for trail riders, and this person says, although I'm an aging trail rider and have been at it for decades, I still have so much to learn. Robert Ebersole's book is a must-have for the beginner as well as the seasoned trail rider and camper, packed full of great ideas, and best of all, ways to stay safe on the trail. Another one, valuable and fun to read. His writing style matches his entertaining verbal style. So when you read these wonderful reviews, how does that make you feel?
It's the roller coaster. It makes me feel so good. My favorite is the bought it as a gift but kept it for myself.
I like that one too. That was my favorite.
That was cool. But I mean, when you're talking reviews, I think it's important to stay grounded. And, you know, there's a couple of reviews that it wasn't for anybody. And those are the ones that I really got a lot of, you know, good reviews are great and they're wonderful. The one at the top could have been much mm-hmm. better. You know, that was a very good learning one for mm-hmm. me. And, mm-hmm. you know, what the writer said was, hey, I hate your pictures, but I love the information.
Yeah, he still, you know, he still give it a positive review. Yeah.
Yeah. Great information, lousy pictures. You know, I have to own up to that. But for somebody that didn't really like it for the pictures, they still said it had great information.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Well, I think with any writer, there the whole review thing it can be that roller coaster ride. And, you know, but they're voting for your book with their dollar because they're buying
right.
it. And that's, you know, that's really cool.
Exactly. And, you know, I when I wrote it, I really wrote this to be an accessory to my clinics.
To your clinics.
Yeah, I thought it would be people that came to my clinics would buy the book. That's who I really wrote it for, and that's the venue that I thought it would work best in. And I only did it, you know, Amazon's doing the printing because it's affordable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really think that people would buy it from the Amazon. And over 1,500 books later, people are buying it from the Amazon.
Well, and then you know at any clinic that you do or any place you make a personal appearance, it's like performers with CDs. I know the CDs are going away, but, you know, people will be so happy to have that information above and beyond what you're able to do in a clinic and
exactly.
have that, you
and
know, to take home.
Yeah. That's what I was
now,
hoping for. Yes, go ahead.
Someone, it might have been a Facebook post. It might not have been in a review, but he made a comment mm-hmm. that he appreciated that you described what you would mean by horse. Is that like in
my
the introduction or early? Yeah, well, I thought that was interesting. Would you share that with us? What did you say?
Yes. The very front of the book, before the table of contents, I included a neutral language statement. The term horse is used within to generically describe all equine beings, including mules and donkeys. And I wanted to include that because, you know, being a mule person, I didn't want the book to be, you know, mule-centric, but I certainly wanted to acknowledge that mules and donkeys, you know, they're out there. We're out there. And they're an important part of our equine family. So I didn't want to confuse people by going back and forth between horse and mule and my mule and people thinking it was just for mules. So
right.
I just
right.
wanted to try to come up with this neutral language statement because we're in a PC world. I figured that would be kind of
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm. No, that was really smart. So, so what's the next book you're working on? You must have some ideas about where you go from here.
Bobby, you're wicked. You're just wicked.
yes, I am.
So I'm working on a book now about horse trailers and trailering. And, you know, what to look for in horse trailers, trailer safety, trailer towing, that type of thing. So I've got an outline together, and I had started actually putting words on paper. Bobby, writing was the easy part. It was the editing that was terrible. I think there's a go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, there's an author, wonderful author, and I believe it was, her name is Tosca Lee, and I believe when we interviewed her once, she said, oh, the thing to do is write drunk and edit sober.
Yes. Yes. I wish I would have known that. I'll be working
well,
on that with the next one. But,
yeah, editing is the, yeah, and editing can make the difference between, you know, readers happy with the dollars they spent and unhappy. I mean, editing is a huge piece.
Exactly. And again, going back to that one somewhat critical review, the last sentence, at least this one is not full of grammatical errors and misspelled words, as so many books are.
They are.
You know,
they
like,
are.
Thank you. You noticed that.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Especially on self-publishing platforms where they don't, you know.
Yeah.
You know how it is, Robert. You probably ran into this many times. Your eye, when you're the writer, and an editor picks it up really fast, but when you're the writer and the editor, your eye will go over words that, or the you get blind. And then you stop yourself and say, okay, I need to look at word by word by word. But, you know, it's hard to do, especially with a lengthy manuscript.
It was
so
terrible. And, you know, I went through, you know, the manuscript I don't know how many times. And I thought it looked great. And I have two dear friends, Sue Hafliger and Valerie Lance, you know, disinterested third parties. And they went through, and I was appalled and embarrassed by how many mistakes they found. And, and when I pointed them out, like, oh, heavens, I did that? They're like, well, yes, I did. But have that disinterested third party was invaluable.
Right. Or in a book like yours, and giving instructions part of it, too, I'm sure, is would somebody who's coming to this for the first time, not for the first time, or doing something doesn't have the history yet, doesn't have the, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, you have to really be thinking of truly someone touching something for the first time.
Exactly.
And that's not always easy to write when you know what you're doing, you know.
Right. We become blinded to our normal way of doing things, and to be able to look at something in a new set of eyes, it's important, but so terribly worthwhile. So, yeah, big shout out to my editors for really making this something that I am proud to have my name on it.
Yeah.
Well, just a huge congratulations. And
so,
forward to getting my copy.
There you go. We can make that happen. I have to admit, so Celeste and I, we've been gone for the past 2 weeks, little bit less, taking a wilderness first responder course.
Mm-hmm.
And so I haven't really been online, or it was back to college for the past number of days. And so before the class, getting office supplies and stuff like that, I bought myself a set of permanent markers for book signings in every color of the rainbow. So I picked up the mail earlier, and I had a box of author copies come in, and the people who were really instrumental in this book happening. Ed Hafliger, my dear friend and mentor, who has, you know, really taken me under his wings over the years, and then Ken Scholz and Russ Seek, who really lit that fire, if you will, for the high mountains and the backcountry on horseback. So I'm you know, signing, you know, signing the inside of the book, you know, to get it shipped off to them. And then just, you know, like I said, I have a book signing this weekend. So what do we do this weekend, Robert? You know, if you want to do it, you want to relax after this course? Well, you know, Celeste, I do have that book signing on Saturday.
Where will you be?
It is the Northeast chapter of Backcountry Horsemen of Washington. So maybe an hour or so north of Spokane. And it's a Backcountry Horseman chapter. Dear friends, big supporters, you know, of mine throughout the years. But they asked me, hey, would you like to come up and tell people about your book? and make sure you bring copies and pins, because we want them signed. We want them special. Like, not only do you want a book, you want me to sign it? Like, cool.
That's very cool. You know, since I just know there'll be times, Robert, when you will just have like a huge crowd, you know, like 100 people will be, you know, lined up to buy your book. If you have Celeste's help, a really, I'll just tell you a very simple thing, is you have index cards and you pass them out to each person in line and you have them write what they want you to say in their book. So you have the spelling of their name correctly.
Yeah.
Or they're giving it as a gift, and, you know, they're buying one for themselves, and they're buying one. Then when they come up, they just present the card to you, and then you can look at it.
Copy it right.
If you can't read their handwriting, you know, you can just ask them to clarify. But it takes – you actually can – it's actually a little more comfortable. You have a little more opportunity to actually have a little – contact with them, a little conversation, even, you know, while you're writing, because you're just taking it off the card. And
I'll,
you know, if you have like a dozen people, it's, you know, but if I always encourage authors to be, you don't know what you might have in terms of a group. You know, you might have 10 people and you sell 10 books and it's not a big issue, but if it's a chapter meeting and people are really excited to see you and you know, they're buying multiple copies, that's just a little, you know,
we hope you have that idea.
We hope you'll have that problem.
I hope I have that problem too. I hope I have that problem. I never thought that, you know, the whole idea of I need to get, you know, copies, you know, thank you copies out, you know, to the people, the acknowledgments. I never, why would they want that? You know?
No, that's very smart.
And then
you want to encourage people to, you know, get a picture of them with you with the book, and then they just put it out there in social media. You know, here I am with Robert, he's signing my book. You know, so you almost have to have somebody kind of just, again, standing right at the table with you and the person, so they can get a picture of, oh, here he is signing my book.
Oh, heavens, I'm going to have to get a bigger hat after all of this.
Yeah, you have to walk through double doors.
Hey, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to listen to a great song by our friends Williamson, Texas, called Blue Moon Over Texas. And we will come back with the number one best-selling author, Mr. Robert Eversole, Bobby Bell, in just a moment on Saddle Up America.
Thank you.
Williamson Branch, Blue Moon over Texas. Welcome back to Saddle Up America and our guest, Mr. Robert Eversole, along with Bobby Bell. And Robert, you have been taking a wilderness first responder course. You and your wife, Celeste, have been doing that. Tell us a little about that and how that would benefit our trail riders.
Well, you know, it was a great course. It was a lot more intense and involved than I thought a wilderness first aid course would be. Here's two sticks, make a splint. And it was really a lot more than that. And sticks make lousy splints, by the way. Padding and compression is what makes rigidity. So if you need to make a splint, take jackets and an ace bandage. It won't move a
okay.
bit. One of the many things I learned, I think like a lot of folks, I hope a lot of folks, think about a trail ride as a potential place where, you know, something could happen. You know, just like hiking, we could have an accident. And I hope that people are cognizant of that and want to be prepared, you know, to help their trail buddies and their friends and family that go out with them. And, you know, Celeste and I, we've kept our first aid CPR certifications for decades now as well, but wanted to learn a little bit more, especially in this wilderness context. And when I say wilderness, in this context, I don't mean capital W, you know, the Passaic, the Bob Marshall. I mean
right.
any place where trained providers can get to or out of a reasonable distance of time. And on my Facebook post this morning, you know, saying, hey, I'm bona fide, I kind of mentioned that. Because, you know, once you saddle up at the trailhead, you know, before we have to tighten that cinch that first time, we could be someplace where if there were an accident, you know, it's going to be a while for an ambulance to get to us, if at all.
Right.
So what can we do for our friends and family, our loved ones, to manage and treat whatever may happen until higher care can arrive? So wilderness can be, you know, you're in a city park, but in the middle of it,
right.
you know, you're going to have to wait there for a little while, you know, for the ambulance services to get there. And that's what this course was all about. You know, so how to assess or determine what injuries are, you know, so, you know, if I have a fractured rib, how bad is that in the context of things? If it punctures a lung, you know, I have a whole new set of issues. So how do I assess injuries as well as illness to make an accurate, I'm going to say diagnosis, but that's not the word I'm going for. And then how do I treat, yeah, how do I manage that injury until higher care can arrive, and you know, how can I do that? So that was the course. It was heavy on practical application scenarios. So every day we would have two or three of these scenarios where you know somebody would be the victim, and they isolate them from the group, and they tell them, you know, what their signs and symptoms are. And and then we're going on a quote-unquote hike, and you find this person. What's their problem? You know, what's going on? How do you diagnose and treat? And I have to tell you, I bet easily 40% of all of the injuries that we did in these scenarios were equine-related. And their scenarios are all based upon case studies of things that actually have happened.
Wow.
And, you know, like I said, easily 40% of every practical application scenario was some type of equine thing in nature. It was really quite sobering.
Wow.
And then you have to go through the signs and symptoms, and the victims, the instructors were really big. I learned a new word, moulage, which is they take makeup and what have you to simulate wounds and cuts and bleeds and bruises.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, and stick impalements. Squirty blood. It was quite intensive. And the worst part, well, not the worst part, the best part was, even though these are your classmates, you know logically that they are safe and sound. They are just pretending to be ill. The stress level was high.
Really?
Yes. You see blood or somebody has a dislocated arm, you want to rush in and, immediately render aid. But to render aid effectively, there's a process, to gather the information, because what, first jumps out in appearance may well not be the problem.
Gotcha.
So there's a reason, when, paramedics come. They have a whole list of procedures that they work through. And we learned that, yes, organization is your friend. But it was every day. The day started early and went late. There were night trainings. And it was a college level course. It was an EMT course that they modify for an outdoors context. So they stripped out the obstetrics and the pediatrics, and they replaced those modules with wilderness improvisation skills for when you're out. You don't have access to all the toys. But yeah, it was intensive. It was good. I pray I never have to use the skills, but I am so glad. I feel so much better prepared now to be that better trail ride partner for whomever I'm with.
Gotcha. Robert, after going through the course, have you changed your thinking about what you might want to take with you on the trail in your first aid kit?
Yes. For the most part, it's going to stay the same, but I'll certainly be taking some additional items. It was really drilled into us. And again, most of the people taking this course, Celeste and I, we could have been the parents and grandparents of a lot of people in this class. But talk about a remarkable group of young adults, truly remarkable. They're taking this class. It's a level of certification that's required to be a backcountry ski patroller. To be a guide or something like that. So they're taking these classes to be more employable. These kids are so much smarter than I was at their age,
Isn't that hard when you find that out, when you run into the young people? It's like, I wish I had known that.
It was, but, we hear so many things in the news, and young people are this, young people are that. This group of young people, I was honored and privileged to be a part of their class. And if I should be broken, hurt, scared, and alone alongside the trail, my eyes will brighten up if I see one of them.
There you go.
They were incredible. But as back to the first aid kit, they really drilled down to what can you not improvise? I can improvise a bandage out of a T-shirt.
Okay.
What I cannot improvise is an occlusive dressing for a chest wound.
Gotcha.
What I cannot improvise is a syringe to irrigate a open fracture.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. I learned the importance of a good set of trauma shears.
Okay.
So things like that. One of these scenarios, and again, these young adults were phenomenal. They took it was on the course was on the we were outside every day in the rain, in the snow. The instructors were sadists, and they enjoyed the rain and the snow and the wind entirely too much, I believe. But one of the scenarios, and this will give you an example of what the scenarios were. One of the scenarios was a canoeist. Is it canoeist? Well, we'll call it a canoeist. A canoeist,
yeah, canoeist.
fell out of their canoe in a river or a lake and somehow impaled a stick through their thigh.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think of falling out of a canoe, that could happen. So we had a submersion issue. I think the hottest it was during this 10 days while we were outside was in the mid-30s.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
so
man.
We had a hypothermia issue as well as this impalement issue. But they took these volunteers, these young adults, who volunteered to be the victims, and they dressed them in provided, old clothing, because they all got cut off. And then they encouraged them to jump in the lake, in Lake Coeur d'Alene.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Where it's in the low to mid-30s, and the wind is blowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they were completely immersed. And in this scenario, the canoeist managed to get halfway out of the water before they collapsed. And that's when the rest of the class, the people on a hike, found them. What do you do? And you talk about, the stress levels. When it was fake blood, that's enough. But when your friends...
They're really wet. Yeah.
Yes.
Hypothermia, could be real. Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
It was. It was monitored. Our instructors were right there in case anything went south, and it didn't. But it was all about what triage the injuries. What do you focus on first? How do you address it? Now, second, third, et cetera. But there's no way in heck I would have volunteered to jump in a freezing body of water, lay halfway in, and until my classmates arrive, because they told us where the accident happened, but we had to find it, which
right.
was 5 minutes or so,
right.
And then have my classmates cut off pretty
Your
much
clothes.
Every bit of soaked clothing on me.
Yeah.
Oh my
Windy,
gosh.
Windy, cold. Wow.
Yeah. So
Robert, I'm going to tell you. Between being a number one selling author and now a certified wilderness survivor, your life is just not dull at all, my friend.
It is not. It has been between the book and, like I said, I had 10 minutes of me time that I just took for me every day. Where I looked at the rankings, because like Bobby said earlier, things don't stay number one forever. So I knew it was fleeting, but my heart
right.
sunk when that afternoon I looked at it and we're number two now.
all right, I've got to ask you
yeah.
now. How can people get the book?
Go to Amazon and search for the ABCs of Trail Riding and Horse Camping. It's that
okay.
easy.
All right. And if they want to go to your website, can they order the book there and get it signed?
Not yet. I have to put that web page together. If you haven't figured out, I've been kind of busy for the past little bit.
You've been a little bit busy. Yeah, you've been a little bit
busy. Yeah, I need to get that up and so that I can get people the book from the website. I just haven't done that yet.
Okay.
Like we were chatting earlier, it really caught me by surprise, you know, the response to the book. And maybe that's just because I'm a cynic at heart. I don't know. But it is so affirming of what I do and what I try to share that people are interested and are happy with it. It's really incredible.
Well, kudos to you, my friend. So the website is trailmeister.com. And visit Amazon and search for the ABCs of Trail Riding and Horse Camping, order the book, or go to one of Robert's clinics and pick one up. Go to one of his book signings and get one.
Yes, and I've got a whole rainbow worth of permanent markers to sign your copy.
So I'll tell you something funny that happened last night. I took the family out to eat, and when the waitress brought the check back, she brought a pen, and the doggone thing wouldn't work. So I said, I asked my wife, I said, do you have a pen? And she said, no, but I'm an entertainer, and I have a Sharpie. So I borrowed her Sharpie. Yeah. She signed the check with. It's funny.
Yes, how funny. Kind of like Bobby's tip on the 3x5 cards, which is fabulous. You know, on Facebook, you know, before the class, when I was, you know, looking at that, you know, a lot of people were asking, how can I get a signed copy? How, you know, why would you want such a thing? But you know, that led to one thing and another. And hey, Office Depot, whole pack of Sharpies in every color of the rainbow. I'm ready.
Yep. There you go. Well, Robert, it has been fun visiting with you, finding out about the book, and we look forward to getting a copy and reading that, and we look forward to next month. December is just here. I mean,
The year has flown by, and it's
been another year for you, my friend. Quite a year.
That it has. All righty. Well, it's a joy as always. You guys take care. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you
in
December.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Always so much fun to have Robert Eversole on the show to visit and talk. And congratulations again to him on that number one best-selling book. That's pretty cool. Bobby, it was so much fun. To have these three ladies join us for the Campfire Cafe today. And we look forward to having each of them back individually as well. So they were a lot of fun. And, of course, Robert's always a lot of fun. And you're just kind of a lot of fun yourself, you know.
Well, thank you. It's always fun to be on.
Well, you're welcome. You are welcome. So what's going on real quickly with Out West? Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming, so get your orders in at westshop.com. All kinds of fabulous things for you and your friends and family. And shipping is still, you know, we're not running into any major challenges. The vendors pretty much have what we show, but you don't want to delay. Regardless of where you shop, you don't want to delay.
Don't wait. Get your shopping done. Any kind of closing thoughts that you want to leave us with?
Well, I had a couple. Let me just pick this one. Keep focused on who and what are most important in your life. Making a life is more important than making a living.
Amen to that. And I know who's most important in my life. But anyway, and I bet you do too.
Yep.
Anyway, well, it's been a lot of fun. We invite you to join us next Thursday. It will be Thanksgiving already, and we'll we'll kick off our Sounds of the Season next Thursday. It'll be all Christmas music. I have no guests that wanted to come be on the show on Thanksgiving. So go figure that. But anyway, we'll have a great time. Then we'll be back after that with, I guess, December is starting up. Isn't it?
And, yeah.
The Sawyer family has a new album out. So they're going to be joining us for the Campfire Cafe. And we'll have Backcountry Horsemen of America on the first week of December. So it's a whole lot of fun. And we look forward to having you join us. We remind you, you can listen to the show on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and, of course, our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. We're going to close the show today with a fun song from Mr. Carlos Washington. And I don't know if I can pronounce this right or not. Do you know what this is, Bobby?
I know. It's a fantastic song, and I think we pronounce it Party on Piedra Lume.
All right. Lumbre. Sounds good to me.
Party on Piedra Lumbre.
There we go. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bobby, thanks for being here.
There's a legend told, a beaver roamed, the guarded cows, he ate the candy below. At night the neighbors would see a glow, shadow of witches moving to and fro. There's a party on Piedra Lumbre, where the spirits seem to move. There's a party on Piedra Lumbre, they dance to the light of the moon. That place is called Ghost Ranch today. Folks come from miles and miles to stay. When they go to sleep, after they pray, the spirits still come back out to play. There's a party on Piedra Lumbre, where spirits seem to move. There's a party on Piedra Lumbre, they dance to the light of the moon. Place they say, you fall in love, but you will not stay. The legends of the La Brujas will make you turn around and get far away. Ghost Ranch today on the Piedra Lumbre. When we wanna dance that Texas thing, we call spirits in to do the western swing. There's a party on Piedra Lumbre. Yeah.